You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Finding Chase Masner, Episode 8.
This week marks 3 years since her son, Chase Masner, vanished in Cobb County.
Living the last 3 years with the not knowing and without him here is pure hell.
Chase Masner is an Iraq War veteran, a husband, a father.
His wife told us she dropped him off at a Quick Trip in Cobb County where he works.
His family says he was last seen at a friend's house in Kennesaw 3 years ago on March 27th.
It's like he vanished from that home, not to be seen or heard from again.
If he was able to reach out to any one of us, he would.
Despite some intense searching, few clues have been found.
She tells me that as a mother, in her heart, she feels her son Chase is dead.
We have absolutely no answers at all, not even the slightest clue in 3 years.
Imagine your son that you've loved his whole life, that you have raised, that you have poured all your love into, takes off and fights in Iraq. Imagine the suffering that you go through every day, every night, wondering if he's going to make it home. And then he does. And you're on top of the world. You are back with your baby. And then he disappears. You never hear from him again, ever. You don't know whether he's dead or alive. Is there a chance he just took a powder and never bothered to call you? Didn't bother to text, just left, just dropped off the grid? Could that happen? I wouldn't be able to believe that. That is what the mother of Chase Masner lives through every day of her life. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. Where is Chase Masner? At the time he mysteriously disappeared, he was married with beautiful children, a beautiful wife. He and the wife, Amanda, fought like a cat and a dog. He had a hard time getting back into the groove with, quote, regular people once he came back from Iraq. It was hard. They had money problems. They had a new baby. Nothing was working. So a lot of suspicion turned toward her when he went missing. A lot of people pointed the finger at her. Was she the last one with him? Did they have an incredible row? Did she pull a gun on him? Did she throw him out of the car? What happened? Finally, she reveals to me her feelings, where she was that day, what happened that day, and how it feels for people to blame you. How it feels for the victim to somehow turn into the bad guy. Here is Amanda Masner.
There are a lot of things in my path that I'm not proud of doing.
Me too. I think there's nobody around here that hasn't done something in their past. Mm-hmm. They would be mortified if the world found out about.
Right. And there are a lot of mistakes that I've made. I'm not trying to hide them. I'm not trying to lie about them. But I love my husband very much. And I love my children very much. And 4 months after my husband disappeared, God came into my life and changed who I am. And showed me things that I didn't think were possible for me, that I didn't even think were real. Brought me to a place that was safe and took me away from so much. And I might not have talked to media or seemed like I was looking or cared about answers, but turning it over to God and raising my children the right way with godly people and just focusing on them, to me, is doing so much more to honor my husband than obsessing and going crazy like I did those first couple months, over details and over all these little things. And the reason that I'm sitting here 3 years later, finally talking to you, is because I can, with peace, without going crazy, knowing that God does know exactly where Chase is. I don't need to know. And I'm not talking to you because I have to know. I'm talking to you because there's so many lies. There's so many things that are false out there. So many people have it so wrong.
I'm glad you said that. What would you like to clear up for the record? Anything?
Well, I think that so many people are focused on, they're not focused on the fact that mental illness is a part of this. They're not focused on the fact that I just feel like, I mean, I feel like some of it's just, sometimes I feel like I'm speaking on an episode of Jerry Springer when I talk about some of this, to be honest with you. But, like, we were not like pot farmers, okay? Like, that's just ridiculous. We weren't, okay? And Chase was, he didn't owe money to, like, crazy dope dealers, okay? And we were not in our front yard screaming at each other every day. Okay? We did not have a horrible marriage. These are not facts. These are... it's just gossip. It's horrible gossip. And cyberbullying is horrible.
Do you feel like you are and have been a victim of online bullying over this?
Absolutely. And horrible slander.
You know what people do, Amanda? Which you already know. People want to help find Chase. They think he may be alive. They think he may have been murdered. So they take every perceived inconsistency and Amanda had Chase's phone. How did she get Chase's phone? Did she get it after he was killed? See, they're in their minds helping, and they are looking for inconsistencies. They are looking for answers. I don't think people do it maliciously. I don't think they do. But what happens is you read it, and it hurts.
But I do feel like there are certain people
that are after you.
I know there are, because there are certain people that slept outside my home.
Who slept outside your home?
There are certain people that followed me to work. There are certain people that came to Iowa and slept outside my home.
You saw them?
I saw them. My neighbors chased them away.
Thinking that you had answers. Or thinking that you did it. Let's just put it out there. I think you had a hand in Chase's disappearance or murder.
And there are certain people that have threatened me.
You really certain believe people followed you all the way?
No, I know they did. They talked to my neighbors. They asked about me.
And this is not the police. These are just...
they are not the police. They wrote their names and numbers down on pieces of paper and gave them to my neighbors. Certain people came to Iowa and told my neighbors that I was a horrible drug dealer from Georgia running away from the cops. This is the type of stuff that people have done.
And what they may not get is that it's not just about you. The girls are involved.
Right. These are my children. This isn't about me. These are Chase's children.
I have a question about something you said. You said that God has shown you things that you didn't even think were real. Like what?
Like the power that God has to change things in your life. Like the power that God has to transform not only how I see things, but how I feel about things in an instant. I went from obsessing over needing to know everything to having total peace and not needing to know. And it's incredible for me.
Like letting you out of the prison, right? Which was your own mind.
Yeah.
Do you think you will ever know what happened to Chase on this earth?
If God wants me to, but it would be for His glory.
Wow. You know, after I talked to Amanda Allen Duke, I believe completely that although I don't agree with some of her choices, I don't think she had anything to do with Chase's disappearance.
Nancy, I have the same feeling. The pain that she suffers, because she is the victim in this, and her two daughters, yet people who are well-intentioned, who are really wanting to find what happened to Chase Masner, look toward her and she becomes the suspect. But it got really bizarre in her case, and unfortunately other cases too. There's actually a guy doing time in a Georgia prison right now. I'll give his name. He was convicted. Paul Libri. We've talked about him in our previous episodes. He's doing time in prison now because he was convicted of impersonating a police officer and pretending like he was a detective to help the families of missing children or people in Georgia, in Cobb County, where Chase disappeared, and in Douglas County, Georgia.
So what does that have to do with Amanda?
Well, he actually he befriended Amanda. He became close to Amanda. He actually, according to Amanda and others, tried to put a camera in her home to spy on her under the guise of he was watching over her. It's really bizarre. Another, she talks about a stalker. There was actually this person who wanted to solve the case who followed her out to Iowa and showed up at her home in that small town in Iowa telling people that he was investigating Chase Masner's disappearance, and he was asking questions about what she was doing. Now, that's pretty scary.
So Amanda, because of that and a lot more harassment, leaves town. She packs up and leaves, takes her children because she's kind of scared. Do you know people follow her to her new location? They go around asking people in her new neighborhood, what do you know about Amanda? Do you know her husband disappeared and we believe he's dead? She may have been the last one with him. What do you know? Going around to her new neighbors and acting like she's the suspect, Alan.
The lesson from this for me, and I hope for others, is yes, help us solve these crimes. Help us find these clues. Help us draw attention to these cases. But let's be careful. Let's be careful about turning the true victim into the victim of another type.
Hold on.
Yes.
You know, Alan, that drastically statistics show that the person most likely to commit a homicide is your partner. It's your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, your ex. So, of course, people are going to look at Amanda. So don't suggest that is not real. It is real.
Yes, it's real.
But in this case,
and just be careful, that what I'm saying is ask yourself if you're being fair to that person in what you post on social media, what you're saying in chat rooms, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was brutal.
Yeah, and just remember that because...
Well, there's only one thing to do, Alan.
And what is that?
We've got to find Chase Masner.
That's what we're working on. I feel good about it.
Nancy Grace, Crime Stories, signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.